And you know, I've been thinking, you know, as we were singing this song, it's and other things that, you know, one of the things we never, I think, realize enough is that God is the creator of all the universe. And he gave up his son. You know, some of us who are fathers and some of us who are parents or some of us who remember our parents, that's something way beyond our imagination. And I was thinking this morning, in fact, I had a dream about it, my father. And he was such a good man. And I loved him so much. I never had the time to talk to him like I should have, because I left home and went to college, and he died after some miraculous salvation for him and a baptism that I did for him and all those things. And I was dreaming about his garden. He always had a garden. I thought, how what a precious man he was. And he gave me up to go to college. And I could see the sadness in his face when I left the yard that first time. God gave up his son. And I know that God makes our emotions. He made us. Can you imagine what that was with the Father God? And that's because he chose to love us. And as I've been thinking about that this last week and today during the songs and other things, it's way beyond my understanding. But I know his heart broke. He made us with emotions because he had emotions. And so you think about the Father God, about that. And this is about his son. And his son, became one of us. And that's what John said, that whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And that's what our government doesn't understand. Unfortunately, this generation of government does not understand that. The first generation did. And that's how they wrote the Constitution and all that we have. Now, we're reviewing a little bit. Remember we were talking about Gabriel? And he was quite a busy angel. And I mentioned before that he was probably had his tongue hanging out half the time. He was very, very busy. He appeared to Mary, you remember? And then he said the famous word, "Don't be afraid, because you've found favor with God. And you'll give birth to a son, and you'll call him Jesus." Very important part where you need to continue to remember that. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And as we know through Scripture, if Christ came to reign over Jacob's descendants, that's Israel. And he came to reign over them forever. And his kingdom, when he sets it up, it'll never end. It's eternal. Now, all of that is way beyond my understanding. You know, and someday we'll see it firsthand. And, it's so amazing when we think about it. And then in that passage, he told Mary, when she asked him, "How will this happen?" And the angel told her that the Holy Spirit will come on you, power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. And all of us who have lived in this life, we know what birth is. We know about it. We know what it is. And we do know that life begins at conception. That's an absolute. Can't be denied. All science has to understand that. Some of them do. Most don't. Or they do, but they don't want to admit it. That's basically what it is. But life begins at conception. And then the angel said, "For no word from God will ever fail." And Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Can you imagine what Mary's heart was? Scripture tells us that she hid all of these things in her heart. And that was a mighty thing. But here's Gabriel again. We haven't seen this one yet. Gabriel and Zechariah. He appeared to him when he was at the incense altar. And, of course, Zechariah was overwhelmed when he saw him. And there was the famous message again, "Zechariah, don't be afraid." I would be. And anyone else appeared when an angel appears. I've never had an angel appear to me, but he'd have to say the same thing to me. And but he said, "God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you're to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Tremendous message from Gabriel. And then you remember while he was in the sanctuary, the angel appeared to him. And many will rejoice at his birth. And then he told him about John's mission. He said, "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." And he said, he must never touch wine or other alcoholic drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Now that was John's mission. And God told Zechariah that that was going to be his son's mission. Now, he actually asked him to make John a Nazarite. The Nazarites were people that were set apart of the Jewish religious leaders. And they didn't drink wine and they didn't do other things. But I think that would have been a better appetite than the locust and wild honey that John ate. That doesn't really impress me as being something good to eat. And we all enjoy our Christmas feast, don't we? And but that wouldn't be one of it. But anyway, he never touched wine or alcoholic drinks, but the Holy Spirit would be. He was really saying the Holy Spirit will be your source of strength. Remember in Acts when the apostles at Pentecost were praising the Lord and giving the truth about Jesus at the whole crowd, and people around thought they were drunk in the middle of the day. It wasn't alcohol. It was the Holy Spirit that was making them speak. And my opinion was that they only spoke Hebrew. Because really, if you look at it closely, it says everyone understood it in their own language. And I don't think it was a special gift that everyone was speaking every language of every nation, because there were dozens of nations there. And if you see it closely, it acts as saying everyone heard it in their own language. And I believe that was the power of the Holy Spirit interpreting it to every person that was there so that they would understand it fully. You know, you and I, we hear things in our own language, right? Most of us. Some of us have other languages that we hear, like Elliot. He He understands Spanish, I think, a little bit. And some who have taken Spanish in college might know two words. So anyway, that's what it really was. And Gabriel was announcing to Zechariah that he would turn many of the hearts of Israel people to him. So you realize that when Christ told the disciples to go out and witness, he said to go to Israel first and then to others. And the church today, many of their theologians get that so confused because they don't believe what the Word says. And that's bottom line what the problem is. When they think that Israel will never have any future with God, they don't really understand what the Scriptures say. Because the Bible says it not just once or twice or three times, probably hundreds of times, that God will set up His kingdom through the Messiah for Israel and then for the rest of the world, included the rest of the world. So it isn't that we have replaced Israel. I hate that word. But there's a whole lot of churches that do what they call replacement theology. We have not replaced Israel. We've been included with Israel. And that's the difference, and that's what we need to understand. We're included with Israel. And as Scripture says, we were all sons of Abraham because of birth in Jesus Christ. So, whether we like it or not, Abraham's our father because of what Jesus said. So anyway, John was the one that was a witness to this, as Zechariah was told. And then Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen?" Uh-oh, he's getting in trouble here, you remember? "I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years. I have a sneaking hunch she was past menopause." I don't know for sure, but that's my opinion. And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel." Oh, I can't imagine that word. I bet you he shouted it out. And I think Zechariah was probably shaking in his boots, if he had any on. I don't know what he wore, temple garb. But he said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Uh-oh. Zechariah, you're in trouble, right? "It was He who sent me to bring you this good news." Notice here, it's good news already. "But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Poor Zechariah. Poor Zechariah. I can imagine. And after he got out of the temple, he couldn't say anything, and the people were all wondering what was going on. They finally figured out he must have seen an angel in there. And I don't believe they heard Gabriel shout at him. I think Zechariah was the only one that heard it. But they knew that something had happened. And you remember the story about Mary, that Gabriel had told her 6 months later that Elizabeth was bearing a child. And that was a miraculous birth, as well as Jesus was. A miraculous birth, but totally human, not just human in spirit. And so Mary, we remember, went to visit Elizabeth to verify that what the angel Gabriel had told her was true. But Mary believed. She began believing right away. Zechariah doesn't have the words between the lines. But the angel and the Lord knew that Zechariah was doubting. And you can understand his doubts. Any of you old people that are over 50, you think you can have kids now?
Abraham and Sarah, couldn't think of her name all of a sudden. Abraham and Sarah ran into that problem a little bit too, remember?
That was the first one, wasn't that?
Yeah, I remember Sarah started laughing, saying, this is not going to happen.
Yep. Yep, but so that's the normal human response, isn't it? And so you can't be too hard on Zachariah, but it was a living presence. And then when John was born, you remember when Zachariah began speaking again? They were amazed. They were going to name him after the Father. That was normal. When you went to the temple the eighth day after birth, that's when you named your child, the firstborn son. And it was not only the firstborn son of Zachariah, it was the only son born to Zachariah. And they wanted to name him after the Father, Zachariah Jr. He said, no, his name is going to be John. What do you mean? You have no one in your family named John. And so anyway, that's what happened. And John and Zachariah spoke, and that's what they named this young baby, John. And later, when he met Jesus, remember at the baptism, he explained who Jesus was. And he fulfilled what the prophecy was to the father, Zachariah. Remember we talked about Gabriel and Daniel. This was something just to remind you again. And after a period of time, it talks about Jesus coming. After the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which was done during in Daniel's time, you know, from the time of Babylonian captivity, Ezra and Nehemiah, and those prophets that were all part of that and had returned to Israel and rebuilt. And remember the angel told Gabriel told Daniel that there would be a certain time. And then he said there will be a hard period of time after that. And then there will be a time when the anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. Now that's a tragic statement, but it wasn't true, was it? He maybe appeared to have accomplished nothing, but he accomplished everything. It was the fulfillment of God's plan. And that's the world's take on Jesus. He accomplished nothing. He died. What good is that going to do? David and the psalmist cry out all the time in the Psalms. They keep saying, you know, God, if you need to spare my life, because if I'm in the grave, I can't praise you anymore. You better spare my life. And that was the Jewish understanding. If you're dead, you're dead. And you have nothing, you can't do anything more. Jesus came to change that scenario. You're no longer dead. You can be alive forever. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Anointed One, about Him. Anyway, Gabriel again, I'm just reminding of that. Now we remember what Gabriel said to Joseph. He appeared again shortly after he appeared to Mary. Matthew says, this is how Jesus was born, the Messiah was born. Mary, his mother, engaged to be married to Joseph, but before marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice that. Name him Jesus, for he will save his people for the sins. Now, one of the things that I think you can see here about Joseph and that angel, when the angel stopped Joseph from divorcing his wife, she was an engaged woman and the same as a wife, and he would have to divorce her. But his heart was so much in love with her, he didn't want her to face the judgment of life.
This has always confused me. In verse 21, it says you're to name him Jesus, but in verse 23, it says Emmanuel.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm confused.
But those are two different names. Same thing, but they mean the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So here we get to this idea, Emmanuel. Remember we were told about what Isaiah said? In 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a virgin will conceive, give birth to his child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then back to Matthew. He said, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive and give a child. She will give him the birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So there you are, Kathy. Those are the two words that mean are still about Jesus. They don't mean the same thing. Jesus means Savior. Emmanuel means God with us. And it's just a like saying the same name for a person that has two different names. You can give them their first name or their middle name. And Emmanuel was Jesus' other name. So anyway, I think that may clear things up a little bit, Kathy. Might muddy the water. Okay, Jan has something.
Emmanuel, that says that he's the Messiah, because it said God with us. You know, Jesus said he will save the people, but he can save it because God is with him, or he is with God. That seems like Emmanuel must have been an older version of salvation or Savior or something. I don't know.
Well, they're all part of the same thing. It's just different names meaning the very same thing.
Well, it sounds like Jesus is, we know Jesus is our Savior, but Emmanuel means this is the job he is going to do. It's a job description. God is with us. Yeah, it's the fulfillment of the promise.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I would say it's a deeper concept of who Jesus is. It's a deeper concept of
who Jesus is. And that's where we're going to go in the message in about, probably not till next week now. but remember what Revelation said? John, remember the same, not John the Baptist. This is a different John. John the Apostle, who received that message from Revelation. He says, I fell down at his feet, talking about the angel. And he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God. I like that word, servant. Remember, that's what Mary said? I am his servant. In other words, a servant will do whatever is required and do it gladly. That's what Paul told servants and slaves to do. He said, when you work for your boss, do it gladly. He said, I am a servant of God just like you, your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Okay, now that's what aligns them. They testify about their faith in Jesus. In other words, they report that they belong to Jesus. And because they testify that, they have become a fellow servant of Gabriel or whoever that angel was. And then he said, worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. That's what prophecy is. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We've got a poster at the house somewhere that gives like 72 different names for Jesus, what he was called out of the Bible that they've gone through, and this is the different names. So there was some of it was just to, again, like I say, to describe his job description out there.
Yeah.
Because he's our Savior, and that's what he was for.
So servant, just like the rest, and all the names of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you can really find an awful lot about Jesus with all those names, similar to what John was saying, right? And the names are fantastic. I got a book with a bunch of the names in, too, and I understand that. I haven't looked at it for years, but I think I made a sheet one time, a little bookmark with a bunch of the names that we could use as a bookmark. That was probably 25 years ago. I have no idea where it is anymore. Anyway, but notice this. He said, worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness about Jesus. I put that in red because I wanted to emphasize it. The word of prophecy is the word about Jesus. One of the names that you remember is light. Jesus said, I am the light. And you go way back to the beginning of creation and you see that light was developed even before mankind and even before the sun and moon. And so ask the astronomers about that. Anyway, the prophecy, essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. And as I was thinking about that verse, in fact, that verse was one that kind of helped me begin to see where I was going to go in this message. The prophetic word is truth about Jesus. That is the word of prophecy. And the better definition of prophecy is not foretelling the future. That can happen, but the real essence of prophecy is speaking forth the truth about Jesus. That's what the prophetic message is. And that's what the prophets, even in the Old Testament, did. When we were talking about Daniel and Ezekiel, Micah, and all the other prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the prophets were speaking a clear message about Jesus and God making him the Messiah. And that's the message that the witnesses in Israel, like Jews for Jesus and others, the chosen group, which is a Hebrew group out of New York, Brooklyn, have for over 100 years had that same message over in Israel. And I get newsletters from them all the time. I think they've been in existence about 125 years. I used to hear about them when I was back at NIAC in New York, and they had a good ministry, still do. And they have missionaries all over the world that are real ambassadors and servants. And that's what people who say, we will do his will, we're his servants. And like Mary said, that's what each of us are. And then we become prophetic voices. Each of you have prophetic voices. We all do it. Not just one of us, we all have that same prophetic voice to serve the Lord and tell them clearly all about Jesus. So I wanted to point out this fact, that just like John in the Revelation and in the Gospels was pointing out the truth about Jesus. Remember what John said in his Gospel? In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He existed in the beginning with God. Who's the He? Yeah, that's Jesus. Ever have people talk to you and they use pronouns all the time? They've talked about three different persons. You never know which one they were talking about after they've told a story and gone three different directions. And then you wonder, who's the He? Who are they talking about? Who is she? Who is they? Sometimes you have to go back and ask them, who are you talking about? You know, they know who they're talking about, but they use pronouns and you don't have any clue where they've gone. But here it's pretty definite, isn't it? That He is Jesus. And that you get from the rest of the context. Because you notice in 3 that He says God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. The Word gives life to everything. And notice that in the better translation, the Word is capitalized. Why? Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and God. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And this Word brought, here we go, light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Some of us had power go out. A few of us in the UP neighborhood had power go out last week. We were out for a few hours, you know, from about 5 to 10. So then you go to find your other lamps and go down to get your battery-operated one. And, oh, I turned it on, and it was fine, you know. But it looked kind of dim, so I said, I better put new batteries in it. That was the first mistake. Then opened it up, and one of the springs broke off that's supposed to touch with the battery. So therefore, I found it once, put it up on the workbench, it disappeared again. And I never could find it. So I got a magnet out. Tried to find it. You know, if a magnet would pick it up, broke the magnet. And came off. So I gave up on that one. And decided my coil oil, I charged with the propane. And got it started. Yeah, it even clicked and got started. And then went out. So I knew my tank was empty. So anyway, we had a coal oil lamp upstairs. We never started it. Flashlights work well after you put new batteries in. So anyway, enough of that. But He is a light. No darkness with Him. None whatsoever. And you remember as we continue at the end of Revelation, it said, light is there all the time. There's no night. Because He is the light of the world. Now that's going to be a wonder that we will see someday. What a wonder it is. And I wonder, and you know our imagination can really go sideways every once in a while. I wonder if we'll ever take naps. You know, I wonder about that because I love my naps and it doesn't matter whether the light is on or off, I still take naps, right? Depends on how comfortable the chair is. And so anyway, that's some of my meandering mind, you know, the craziness that goes in our minds. But the light will shine in darkness. We're going to come back to that. We see what He said in Bethlehem and what Isaiah said. And what John continued to tell us. And then we're going to go to Nehemiah. I knew we weren't going to get very far today. And we'll see about the mighty God, that He is everlasting, supreme. He made peace. He's the everlasting Father. And then He said, I am the Father of one. He's the Prince of Peace. And we'll celebrate what He said. So I'm not sure when we'll ever get done with this message. We'll certainly get back to it next week, but we're going to look at that passage where Jesus said, I am, and the four things that he said. And basically, he was saying, I am God. I am the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we're going to talk about that. We could go about peace forever, couldn't we? So maybe we'll get some more down in the message next week. We're not going to end the Christmas story right after Christmas, you know. It'll continue because it continues our whole life. And that is the message, the truth of the prophecy about who Jesus is. And that's all of our life. And I keep wondering in my mind, where in the world are the stupid people in the swamp when they think about the simple truth of how creation began? They don't even believe that. If they believe that, they could maybe eventually find out about Jesus. And Lord Jesus, Father God, we do come to worship you this Christmas time especially. But every day, every minute of our life, we call out to you, hallelujah, praise be your name. And we thank you that you've given us a voice and a mind and the Holy Spirit to help us to speak to you no matter what our temperament is, no matter our situation is, because you are still who you are, God, the Good Shepherd, the sacrificial lamb. You're so much more than just one single word, because you're wrapped up in the entire universe, the creator of it all, and all of it is part of your essence. So help us to worship you from the very depth and soul of our life, to give you the hallelujah and the glory that you deserve. So thank you, Lord. Continue to walk with us during this season and help us to be that clear prophetic witness to the world around us, family and friends that we'll be in contact with during this time. Thank you. In your name, Lord Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Shalom.